G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 12B.
Yes. So, this I would like to convey. It is an old question that always people bring up to say, well, Mrs. Eddy seems to be a bit high-minded. She thinks she really is the queen's pin or something like that, you say, huh? And everybody else that went before, they were just little gnomes. And so she had to answer that question. In Unity of Good, she says, sometimes it is said by those who fail to understand me, that I monopolize, and she puts monopolize in italics. So she knew about the critics, that they felt that she is thinking that she is the only one, and whatever went before her was no good at all. And she goes on and says, and this is said because ideas akin to mine have been held by a few spiritual thinkers in all ages. So can you see the question? And her answer is in the affirmative. She says, so they have. She says, yes, what I say, many, many thinkers before have also voiced. And you know that if you take the Christian Science textbook, and you know exactly that in earlier times many, many thinkers have said this sentence, that sentence, or this question, or that question before. Not everything that is in the textbook is absolutely new, that nobody on earth since thousands of years has ever been thinking or saying. No, she said, that's not so. They really have said many things that I say. So they have, comma, and then comes a but. And always when the but is coming, we have to be aware that something important is being said. But in a far different form. Well, does the form make any difference? It doesn't really make a difference if you speak, if you bring out an idea in this rendering or in another rendering. That doesn't really matter. Does she mean by this in a different form, just in different words? No. She said, what is the cardinal point of the difference in my metaphysical system? What is the difference of it? What is the different form of it? And she said, it's a metaphysical system. Now, up to that point, these ideas were voiced atomistically in thousands of books with thousands of thinkers, but never in a coherent system. Not only this, she says, it's not only the system, it's also the holistic sense which she has brought out. She has put all those ideas together so that that system is a holistic system, which means that it is absolutely free from any dualistic sense. Because she says right afterwards, again, I have to go back. What is the cardinal point of the difference in my metaphysical system? Namely this, that by knowing the unreality of disease, sin, and death, you demonstrate the allness of God. This difference wholly separates my system from all the others. So you can see there are two points that we feel is really unique, or the advancing stage, I would say, in the development of the idea that Mrs. Eddy brought. Namely, first of all, that all those many, many truths that she has in the textbook have been said before. Most of them have been said before. most of them. But what is unique is that she could build it into a coherent system. And we have seen that the moment you have atomistic truth, you cannot really understand them. So that if we find here and there and there atomistic truth, we can say, yes, that's the same what Mrs. Eddy said. And yet, she doesn't say the same thing. A truth is only then a scientific truth when it is embodied in a system. So a truth that has been stated is then becoming a scientific truth when it's put into relation with all the other truths, so that it builds up a consistent, coherent system. And she says, this is my contribution to this age, that for the first time I have given a consistent system. Not only that, naturally others have also thought they had a system, because every scientist in earlier ages also knew that they should present their subject in an ordered way, in a classified way. They were not just writing sentence after sentence that had no relationship with each other. They also tried to find some classification and systematization of their subject. That was very clear, but their system differed on the main point that they were always dualistic, whereas she gave a holistic one which would show those two sides, the allness of God and the nothingness of evil. That was unique. So we have two important points of holism. First of all, to put this idea together into a system so that it is a consistent system that contains all, and that all was a holistic whole, namely the allness of God and the nothingness of sin, sickness, and death. So absolutely free from dualism. If there is any monopoly in my teaching, it lies in the utter reliance upon the one God to whom belong all things. Again, an indication of the allness of being, the holistic sense. So we can see, and as though I don't know very much about the other religions, high religions, I don't know very much or practically nothing about the philosophers of earlier times, but I learned that they too began to see the sevenfold nature of God and tried to voice it. They too began to see somehow the operational sense of God, usually as a fourfold operational sense of God. That other philosophers and thinkers also began to see that there must be dimensions, levels, which translate themselves, which law of translatability. But what I learn is that Mrs. Eddy was the one who for the first time took those seven, defined those seven clearly, took those four, defined those four clearly, took the dimension in its entirety as four dimensions of science, and built them into one system. This, I think, would be in a nutshell, her contribution. So it isn't really the individual sentence that is new. It is much more that to take all these various truths and combine them into a system. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. To a system that is comprehensible to this age. That's very important. The most science shows scientists in various fields show their system in a way that nobody understands except a few specialists. but she tried to translate it in the form comprehensible to this age. It would not have been comprehensible at Jesus' time. They wouldn't have known what to do with the textbook. It is adapted to this age. And I put the stress on this age because I want to talk something more about it later on. And was that system which she afterwards, after her revelation, found in the Bible. It isn't so that she found Christian Science in the Bible and then translated it into modern language as a textbook. She had her revelation straight from the horse's mouth and not from the Bible. But she was thinking, is that really a revelation or is that just some highfalutin concept? I have to see the proof of it. And so she said, if that is a revelation of God, it must coincide with the Bible. And so began to study the Bible and began to find, really in the Bible, the proof of what she has discovered. We have another point here under three, namely the Christ Spirit. Well, I have tried with the introduction to lead up to that Christ Spirit by showing that our awareness of the holistic science, that we can understand really the second side of the Holy City, that we have to have a good, sound, intellectual approach and a good, sound, spiritual approach, and that together we perhaps could call the mind of Christ, that we have the Christ Spirit, that really we would see that it is the Christ Spirit that enables us to understand the science. That it isn't our brain or our academic learning that helps us to understand the Christ, God. But it is the mind of Christ. That we have that mind which is the mind of God. Or if I put it into another way, as the divine mind was revealing itself through the writers of the Bible and through Mrs. Eddy as the writer of the textbook, not really as the author of the textbook, but much more as a scribe under order, as she says, if that one mind that is holistic has translated itself to the level of a written text, then naturally we can see that that written text can only be understood through that mind which wrote the text or which dictated the text. Namely, the mind that is God. Therefore, our approach to the textbook must be with a mind that is of the same nature as the mind that wrote the text. You know, this is an old war cry of mine, very old one. And I repeat it, I think, in every summer school. And I like to repeat in every summer school. Because I see the necessity of it. I see that we are so much tempted to open the textbook and just start to read. How do we start to read? Mostly with our brain. Nothing can get out of that. But if we have within itself first an awareness, the third side of the Holy City, a spiritual Christ consciousness within ourselves, that we say only really that mind which is God, which is also my mind, only that mind can really that divine mind. Did you understand that sentence? It was always about mind, huh? So that only that mind which is God and which is my mind and on which I am aware that this is the only mind that can understand that what the divine mind has dictated, then alone like understands like. If the human mind never understands the divine mind, never. We can't build on that. But the divine mind in us can understand that. So, if we go back to our beloved sixth chapter, which I have been talking about, the whole chapter is full of that attitude. It is a chapter on science, theology, medicine. We have seen these are the three pillars of a holistic philosophy. That the understanding of that holistic philosophy must build on that mind of Christ. She introduces that chapter with a biblical motto from Paul, who said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." He says, "What I tell you does not come from my human brain, does not come from my educated, intellectual, academic brain." Or we could take any academician and say, "Please teach Christian Science." They can't. And therefore, I have that disadvantage that students always think, "Well, Max can teach it, because he went through university." And I would say, no, that's not true, because I know very well that right from the beginning I went through class, from that very moment, I knew that I would never read the textbook and the Bible anymore with any other mind but first to sit down, sometimes for a quarter of an hour, sometimes for half an hour, just to go through scientific obstetrics, just to see that I put away all material conception, that I put away all my intellectual knowledge, that I put away all what I have known of Christian Science up to now, that I start right from scratch every day anew with that mind which is the mind of God. And I will pray first, and dearly, earnestly pray. And under praying I mean I was struggling within my consciousness that only that mind could speak to me and could listen, that is of the nature of the Christ mind. And only then when I in a certain way I felt the peace within myself, the stability and the balance within myself, and I felt, yes, only the divine mind is the only mind. There is no other mind but the divine mind. There can be no other mind than the divine mind, so only the divine mind is that mind which can understand, which can know, which can see through everything, which can reveal, which can know and guide and lead me in my study. Only when I got that peace of mind, I began to study the textbook or the Bible, so that I would feel that I teach as much as I can, not from my knowledge of Christian Science, so that I come to the class every day and start the class with a sense that it is only the divine mind that speaks through me, and not what I have studied and learned. Therefore, my notes are only notes that give me a line of reasoning that leads organizes, so to say, the layout of the talk of the hour. But then I try not to teach. Then I like to listen to the divine mind, what that divine mind tells me at that very moment. That's what Paul was saying, that his gospel was not after men. for I neither received it of men. He says, I didn't get it from people. This is terrific. I mean, we go to a teacher, to people. I've gone to people as teachers. But this is a step, a rung on the ladder. But it isn't really the climax of it. We have to see that we don't get our revelation from people. They can give us new impetus, a new impulsion, a new spark, so to say, to spark something off. But then we have to go to the divine mind and talk with the divine mind. So he said, I never received it from people, neither was I taught it. And we know that Paul got it right from Jesus through the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what we should culture, see. But we don't rely too much on a teacher. You shouldn't rely too much on what I say. You come to the class, I'm very happy you come, I'm grateful for it. I would perhaps be very unhappy if I had just a few people here. I'm grateful that you are here, that you come to a teacher. But please, please, don't take me as your teacher. Don't say ever that you are a student of Max. Don't do that to me, please. Please see that you are a student of divine science, and that you find your answers in divine science, and that if you get cornered, don't say, but Max said. Please don't do that. If you are cornered and don't know the answer, be honest and say, I don't know the answer at the moment. I would have to pray and would have to go to the divine mind and ask the divine mind, where did I get it? All right, I had a wonderful, great teacher, but that was 40 years ago. No, 50 years ago. Where did I get it afterwards, when the teacher was no more here? I have to get it from the divine mind, from no other. I never get it from people, not from my colleagues, from nobody. I go to the divine mind, and I struggle with the divine mind. I battle with the divine mind. I battle sometimes for nights and for days and for weeks. And lately for months I battled with the divine mind. Give me the answer. What is round the corner? Tell me. What does the divine mind want to do? What does the divine mind, how does the divine mind guide the idea forward? How will it do it? So Paul did the same. He said, I didn't get it except from the revelation of Christ. Mrs. Eddy asked right away in that chapter, when came to me this heavenly conviction? From where came really her revelation? And she said, it was the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. So she said, I didn't get it from any people, from any books. I got it from God and God's grace. And even Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. So please never say you are a student of Max. You are not. And you should be grateful that you are not a student of Max, because humanly I'm a rotten old man, you know. There's not much good about it that way. So go to divine science. I'm only at the best when I think about divine science, really. Mrs. Eddy says, the Bible was my only textbook. No human pen nor tongue taught me the science contained in this book, that I got it right from God. It was a revelation of God. So little by little, that whole chapter tries to educate us to the point where after the road of reason we are so much prepared to see, and I show you that afterwards, to see that we have that mind which is God, and that that is the only mind, and that therefore we are willing to let ourselves be instructed by the only mind which is truth, with a capital T. She says, I have found nothing in ancient and modern system on which to found my own, except the teachings and demonstrations of our great master and the lives of the apostles and prophets. The Bible has been my only authority. Can you see? Don't take me as authority. Please don't do that. You harm me and you harm yourself. Because I still am a human and you are human. If you rely too much on me, then you rely on a shaken reed. Huh? What do you say? Shaken reed from the Bible? Yeah. You rely on something that is not really strong. You build on sand, because I want to change. So if you take it as what I am now, you will be at loss when changes come on and we begin to see something new. Yes. So the Bible has been my only authority. I have had no other guide in the straight and narrow way of truth. Further in that same chapter, she says, revelation does not come. So this is all about revelation, how to get revelation that science reveals. Does not come from the schools. It does not even come along the line of scholarly and ecclesiastical descent. And it, as kings are crowned from a royal dynasty, get rid of that royal dynasty that says there was John Dorley, then comes the student of John Dorley, and then comes the students of the students of John Dorley. That's a royal dynasty. There are students that get the science like that without going to John Dorley, nor to the students of John Dorley, nor to the students of Max. They go to the books. So get rid of that royal dynasty that we say, oh, I'm a student of John Dorley, you know. I'm nearly now the only one that is left of the student of John Dorley. And I... Yes. So truth, she says, is a revelation. And that is where we want to leave the subject and go on this afternoon. Yes.